First of all, thank you to my husband Mark and Kevin and Chris and Michael in absentia for trusting me. It's always a risk giving me a microphone because I rule. I'm kidding. Anyway, thank you so much for this opportunity. I want to say straight off, we all, the daughters of the King in this house, mother somehow and somewhere, okay? We know that. So we've got a PowerPoint for you. I just want to show you these three or four pictures, I think, that Mark did for me. We're going to try and coordinate, which will be a technical miracle for me. It's not that one. This is Nazareth, okay. The pictures that we're going to show are of Nazareth in a village that has been built by two Messianic Jews in Nazareth who actually, okay, that's first of all. This is Mary's electricity, girls. Are we not blessed? Mary's electricity, okay. Anyway, but I want you to just picture, when you look at them, to just picture this is the life that Mary actually led in an area that is as similar as they could get to the times that she and Joseph and Jesus and the children were in Nazareth. So we are down here, and up there it would be like a shelter, you can see. Next, Mark, thanks. That's all for that picture. Not working. Oh. Anyway, it's very rough. It's very, there's lots of stone. There's limestone everywhere in Israel and very, very rough-hewn rock. So, and it's hot. And those are olive trees that you can see, the more sort of grayy ones. And they live for thousands of years. The ones in the Garden of Gethsemane, actually, you could, 10 people could not put their arms together around the trunk of those trees, and they've been alive and well and still bearing shoots after 4,000 years. So anyway, I'm going to carry on because obviously there's a glitch. You wave at me when there's more. But I wanted you to see this, girls. There were no Tupperware cupboards in those days, right? So I want to say this. Successful mothers are not the ones who have never struggled. They are the ones who never give up besides the struggle. Okay? And I'm going to read a passage of scripture that we all know, and I've chosen out of the message to read it, Luke 1, 26 to 28. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You are beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. I can imagine. Mary says she was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever. There will be no end ever to his kingdom. And Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never slept with a man. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible for God. And Mary said, and this is really poignant, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Then the angel left her. And then Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judea in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, who we know as John the Baptist, in her womb leapt. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. Then she goes on a little bit and she talks about her womb and all the rest. And then she says, blessed woman to Mary, who believed what God said, believed every word would come true. because there was an immediate recognition of the Holy Spirit and the baby leaping and all that. And then Mary said this, and I think this is a very precious thing. It goes on for Mary's song, but I won't do that. She says, "I'm bursting with God news." Isn't that cool? "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing at the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me, da 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 da." So I want to ask a couple of questions. This is no surprise that I'm speaking about Mary. I was a little bit, "Really, Lord?" And he said, "Yes, because she has attributes that my daughters have." She had attributes that my daughters today have. So why did God choose Mary to be the mother of his son? What was so special about her? So when I talk about her, think about yourselves, all of the ladies in here, right? About her attributes. She's just an ordinary girl. Now, in our culture, we say ordinary means just plain and common garden variety, okay? Ordinary has another meaning here, which I didn't go into, but she's just an ordinary girl, chosen by God for an extraordinary task. He chooses us all and gives us extraordinary tasks to do and accomplish for his kingdom. So was it her innocence? Was it her purity? Because she was a virgin. But her attributes were many. This young Jewish girl, probably somewhere between the ages, the theologians say between 12 and around about 14 or so. Firstly, she knew her Lord. She knew her Lord, and he knew that. And she trusted him, and he knew that she would. Interestingly, though, being Jewish, she knew that the Messiah would come one day. So can you imagine being told by this massive, majestic angel that it was you who'd been chosen by God to be the earthly vessel to bring not just her Messiah, but to entrust her with God's Son, who was to be her son on earth, to rear, to nurture, to admonish, to bring up. Imagine losing him in the temple. Mary running around frantic. You know what it's like when we lose our kids in no frills? We prostrate ourselves. "Lord, help me. Where is my child?" And then we find them. And then we want to just attach our little warm hands to the seat of their learning, because we know what that's like. "I'm so glad you're here, but in the meantime," yeah. Imagine her running away and say, "Joseph, I've just lost God. Jesus is gone." Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, we weren't there, but poetic license. Secondly, she responded to God with belief and obedience. Okay, Kristen, get over it. So her belief was absolute. And because she believed, she was willing to obey. So that was a big question for me. Just because I believe, and there's the word, and I love the word, and the bits I remember of the word and can quote, and know that the Lord has given me, am I willing to actually believe and obey? Big leap. Thirdly, she was brave. No shrinking violet was Mary. Being ostracized by her family and community was secondary to being chosen and used by God to do his will. Did she have any idea what it would be like? That at the end of those labor pains, the Son of God was going to exit her little body, and the responsibility of nurturing and parenting God's Son lay in her hands. Obviously, Joseph was there, but I'm talking about women today. Jean Edwards says in his book, The Birth, and this has stuck with me for years, "And God came to earth as a baby that night." And that just, if that doesn't grab you, "And God came to earth as a baby that night." He didn't lie in the manger saying, "Mom, I'm God, I'll do the diaper." He didn't lie there and say, "I'm turning over to burp myself." Mary had a whole trillion chores to do. as an ordinary girl, an ordinary woman, an ordinary person and mom, to bring up the Son of God. And God knew all this, what she'd go through, and yet he still chose her. He knows what we would go through, and he still chooses us. So isn't it like that with us? He knows what he's put in us, the fortitude and the stamina and the guts and the perseverance that's got to finish its work, the determination. And we are ordinary, called as moms, to exact an extraordinary task. Chosen by God to bring up these little darlings that you saw here this morning and other little darlings everywhere, little darlings wherever, okay, who are going to mule and puke over us, disobey, scrape their knees, run and hide, stick their tongues out, stand up on the outside, sit down on the inside. And her son was rejected, and she had to witness that in Nazareth when he went back there. Just as our children are rejected and bullied, she went through the same. You know, when they said, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" Scoffed and scorned, didn't, just total disregard for the fact that he was who he was. Disregard, so he moved on. When the old man Simeon, way back in the temple when Jesus was a baby, prophesied that a sword would pierce her heart because of her child. That's great. There you are in the temple. And here comes a very elderly prophet and says some nice things. And then, "But a sword will pierce your heart because of this child." Some of us here today have had a sword pierce our hearts because of children. You've never thought you would survive the pain, the humiliation. You'd never breathe again, let alone smile or parent normally again. A sword has pierced the heart. Disappointment. Values that are different. Moral compasses all over the place. But our Heavenly Father knew the hours of travail and desperation and fears and dramas and fights and tears. And yet he chose us. He entrusted us with his children. Just like he chose Mary for what was a monumental task by any woman's standards. But I want you to ponder in your heart, just like Mary did, the wonder of it all. The weight of it, most certainly, but the wonder of it, this thing called motherhood. And again I say, every woman in this house today mothers at some level. Just a little adage after that, a bit of poetic license. I love that the scripture says Mary pondered, it says a couple of times, Mary pondered that in her heart. Interesting that they were the words today on that. Which to me means she didn't gossip. She took it to God. She shared her heart with her Heavenly Father. And she had 33 years to get used to the idea, if she ever did, that one day, she was going to have to stand by and sacrifice her beloved son, to see him ridiculed and battered and ultimately die a horrific death on that cross. I wonder how wretched, how broken, how paralyzed with fear she actually was, standing next to John, the disciple that Jesus loved. As her son, that she'd given birth to, looked down bleeding and in agony from that cross and said to her, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple John, "John, behold your mother." And the scripture says that from that hour, John took Mary, his heart mom, to his home to live. That's in John 1:26. You see, Jesus had been Mary's support all those years. And then Jesus handed the baton on to John. So we don't know where she lived during the time of Jesus' public ministry those last 3 years. Maybe Nazareth, maybe Capernaum, moved around. But what is for sure is that she was not as close to her son in proximity or geography maybe as she would love to have been, as his mom. She also knew the anguish and the separation of having her son not that close, and then had to trust, like we do, our Heavenly Father to protect and look after her son when she couldn't do the motherly things, and for his will to be done beneath that place in the skull, that place of the skull that was beneath where he was crucified, where she knew he would be murdered. Now, in a minute way, I have known what it's like to live without Louise within breathing distance for like 10 years. God brought her home every 10 years, or us to her. But trust me, I didn't wash her pillowcase for weeks because I could still smell her. Mums do crazy things. But it was necessary. I loved that smell. So I wonder, some of them boomerang back, of course, as we know. You know, they kind of like boomerang back. They're called boomerang kids. They leave for a while and then boomerang back. You can smile at that. I put up a card. I wonder if Jesus ever said anything like this to his mom. Slow down, mummy. There's no need to rush. Slow down, mummy. What is all the fuss? Slow down, mummy. Make yourself a cup of tea. Slow down, mummy. Come and spend some time with me. Slow down, mummy. Let's put our boots on and go out for a walk. Let's kick at piles of leaves and smile and laugh and talk. Slow down, mummy. You look ever so tired. Come and sit and snuggle under the sheepskin and rest with me a while. Slow down, mummy. These dirty dishes can wait. Slow down, mummy. Let's have some fun. Let's bake a cake. Slow down, mummy. I know you work a lot, but sometimes, mummy, it's nice when you just stop. Sit with me a minute and listen to my day. Spend a cherished moment because my childhood is not here to stay. So that's the end of what I felt the Lord give me for us to see ourselves as women of excellence, moms at whatever level of excellence, doing what we do. Sometimes laborious, sometimes joy-filled, sometimes just plain hard graft. Plain hard graft. But Jesus sees. He sees the enormity of the weight and the task and the responsibility on each one of us as women. And he's put deliberately that exquisite nurturing and caring thing deep inside us that we can't get rid of. It's just there. It's just there. Just when you think you couldn't love another or more, boom, another and more love, right? So I want to read this. It's acknowledging the wide continuum of mothering. So every one of these depicts a woman in some area. So just take it in if it is for you. To those who give birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard paths of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we are with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and love you. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be, yet. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisage lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not yet to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you all. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. So, Chris, I know that was short, but it's Mother's Day too, and I want you all, wherever you are, to have fun today. Thank you for listening to me, and I want Chris to pray for us. Thank you. You don't have to stand. This is for all the darlings wearing perfume and darling stuff.
Because one's short and you're giving me the mic. Too bad. So I'm just going to go with what pops into my head. I was reflecting on this, and I think it's very important that we get this concept. The ladies' meeting yesterday, I think Bridget was speaking out of Psalm 139. It was the main context that I know that he knows everything about the forming in the womb of a person, every aspect. God knows what we don't know. So jumping up here as a guy, I just want to bring a perspective to something for us that God's got this plan. He knows greater than us. So in the beginning, he makes light and darkness, like God is over the spirits, over the face of the deep, right? Makes light and darkness, makes the heavens, pulls the waters together, brings up the earth, puts grass, and then he brings the stars and the lights to be signs and seasons for us, and then he creates the fish, and he brings the beasts and stuff, and then he creates Adam. And Adam, I'm just starting at the beginning. It popped into my head. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. But what I want you to have, so we've got Adam. Adam and Eve's not there. So Adam's working this all out. So whatever happened, God realized that all of that creation was not meeting the needs that he had for whom he made in his likeness and his image, which was mankind. And he said, look, I'm going to do something here because I need to fix. Well, I don't know if it was probably purposeful in it, because I think in the end, it breeds what God wants in us. This is the ultimate goal of all of this. He takes man, and he puts him in a deep sleep, and then takes a rib out and creates Eve. I want us as guys to take quick note here. How much did Adam have to do with the creating of Eve? Not one iota. So, as heads of households, God knowing from the womb when a woman is being formed, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit on men and women, sons and daughters, right? He has brought purpose from the beginning, puts Adam asleep to create Eve. I wonder sometimes, do we then come along, and this is the best thing I think I can pray for women. Do we come along and take on God's role? God is working in women, because he has purposely once said, there's no help meet for you, Adam. There's nothing, this ain't working for you. You need this. This is God created the male and female. He put them together purposefully so that we could fulfill the commission that he's called us to, that we would be the ones that bring this hope of salvation together, because it wasn't working. Right? I mean, he'd commissioned Adam in the beginning. He commissioned him. He said, like, you know, be fruitful. That is, be like God. Multiply. Well, that was interesting in itself, but I mean, that was prophetic in itself. He said, Yeah, well, it's fill the earth, not the garden, right? So he said, be fruitful, multiply. And he gave us the commission to go out and fill the earth. And he put us together. And I think that we need to sleep a little. We are heads of households. And Christ came, and I want to think of the King James word sleep here. Christ died for us, or fell asleep, as King James would put it, so that we could be righteousness and whole. Sometimes I think we demand where God is saying, go to sleep. Let me work on that. You be the head of the household that would lay down your life. So my prayer is for the fulfillment of our commission together. So Father, I just thank you that you are at work in your precious daughters, the ones whom you chose, the ones whom you created, whom you designed and made purposeful so that we could in this world live fulfilled lives, that you pour into their lives and fill them up with your Holy Spirit, that they speak and we have fellowship with the living God, that we together as male and female can fulfill all that you've called us to. I thank you for them. I thank you that you do a mighty work in their hearts. That you are the one that came and said, I love you so much. I will give my life for you. Hear me in your life. Father, I just thank you, Lord, as heads of households, as men are representing heads of households, that we would truly grasp what Jesus did when he fell asleep again, giving his life so that there would be a fulfillment of the ultimate purposes you've called us to, this righteousness that we walk in, this hope of salvation that we have together, Father. I thank you. Beyond our wisdom, you have created men and women, Lord. And I just say, Father, let us rise up together, fully commissioned in what you've called us to. Mothers of strength, of honor, dignity, bringing hope and life into the family, lifting up, Father, building into, bringing the needed help, that they would have freedom and liberty to speak what you have put in their hearts, that you mold into them, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who brings this. No book, no wisdom of man. Lord, bless today our mothers. Bless today our women. Bless today your creation, Father, that we together could be all that you've called us to be. The bride of Christ, the church of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. That's wonderful. So, you all okay? Everybody should say yes, yes, yes. Yeah. For those who might have come in the side door or came and didn't see us standing at the door with some gifts for Mother's Day, Trish has them in a basket here. So just come forward and choose one. It's a little gift of homemade, slightly scented soaps that was made by a lady for us at the end of near Frenchman's Bay. So enjoy. Have a wonderful, wonderful, God-filled, child-spoiling, husband-spoiling day. Love you lots.